back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in once again with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Can you please remind us of the clue?
Well, these days we're seeing a lot of longtime institutions closing, including two in Portage la Prairie. This week, our focus is on the Manitoba Development Center and the Agassiz Youth Center.
And for the sake of our listeners who might not be aware of these two facilities, could you tell us a little bit more about their histories?
Well, they're both facilities of the provincial government, and they have a long history of operation at Portage. The Manitoba Development Center opened in 1890, and it was originally called the Home for Incurables, essentially people who had a wide variety of ailments that at the time would not be treated in a general hospital, you know, things like tuberculosis. In 1924, its name was changed to the Home for the Aged and Infirm, which kind of makes it sound like a senior's residence, but the word infirm encompassed a broad swath of conditions, including mental illnesses. Just 6 years later, 1930, it was renamed again, this time to the Manitoba School for Mental Defectives. Horrible name.
Absolutely horrible names. Like this is breaking my heart as you're talking. I'm like, could the names get any worse? And then we just keep on singing to a new low.
Well, they were reflective of the time. And in this case, I suspect the school part of the name was meant to imply that some sort of education was offered. But I think as society became more aware of the hurtful ways that labels can affect people, the facility was renamed again in 1967.
No.
Then in 1984 to the Manitoba Development Center. You know, but frankly, I find its present name so vague as to be, I think, almost meaningless. The Manitoba Development Center. What does that really mean?
So how many buildings are at the MDC?
The original building, constructed in 1890, was expanded in 1898, again in 1913, and yet again in 1938, each time to increase its capacity as demand for the facility grew. In time, additional buildings were built so that by the late 1960s, the number of residents peaked at just over 1,200. Now, today, just for context, the complex comprises at least 15 large buildings and several more smaller service buildings, but media sources state its resident population is now about one-tenth of its peak in the 1960s, about 130 people.
Okay, so what is the history of the AYC? That's what you mentioned earlier.
Right. Well, like the Manitoba Development Center, the Agassiz Youth Center has had several names through its 112-year history. Opened in 1910 as the Industrial Training Center in a building on a scenic site overlooking Crescent Lake in Portage, it took custody of 20 boys that were described as juvenile delinquents. That was the term we often use for, you know, boys who misbehaved. They had been previously held at the Central District Jail a few blocks away. The idea was to give the boys work-related training in hopes that that would sort of set them straight. They trained them in such things as tailoring, shoemaking, gardening, carpentry, blacksmithing, cooking, farming, you know, useful skills. It was renamed the Manitoba Home for Boys, you know, which sounds very idyllic.
It sounds beautiful, in fact.
Yeah, the Home for Boys. In 1931, it became the Agassiz Youth Center in 1977. And through the years, several more buildings were added to that original one. Until today, it has 9 large buildings and a few smaller ones. Mind you, for a period during the Second World War, they didn't occupy the site. The inmates, so to speak, were kicked out in favor of the Canadian military, and they used it for training and administration purposes until the end of the war when the boys returned.
Okay. Now, we hear a lot about cemeteries associated with institutions like this, like such as residential schools. I'm scared to ask, but are there any cemeteries at either of these two facilities?
To my knowledge, there is no cemetery at the Agassiz Youth Center. However, there is a cemetery associated with the Manitoba Development Center. It's located on Highway 240, immediately north of Portus La Prairie, not that far away from the center itself. It has only a few grave markers in it, which would tend to imply there aren't very many burials there. But as we have been learning with residential schools, it's entirely possible there are many more burials than we really know.
And why are they closing?
Well, the two centers are closing because they're of changing approaches to the treatment of mental illness and the handling of young offenders. These new approaches are decreasing dramatically the number of people that use these facilities. You know, at one time, the attitude essentially was to lock people away. And oftentimes, the only way to leave an institution like the Manitoba Development Center was to die. Reintegration into general society was unthinkable. Now, today, our more enlightened view is that it is more effective medically, socially, financially, to treat these people in other ways.
It makes me happy. I know it's sad because it's abandoned Manitoba that a building's going down, but it makes me happy to hear this news. Now, when will the facilities be completely abandoned?
The Agassiz Youth Center will be the first to close in late July, just over a month from now. The government claims that it is less than 30% of its full capacity, so the remaining youth will be transferred to the Manitoba Youth Center here in Winnipeg, which itself is operating at only about 50% capacity.
And what do you think is going to be happening to these buildings once they're evacuated, I guess?
I suspect that most of them will be demolished to make way for a new hospital that's supposed to be constructed in Portage. And it's going to open by 2025. So I think that it's going to be fairly immediate. I'm hopeful, however, that the original building at the Agassiz Youth Center, the one that dates from 1910, will survive. You know, it underwent extensive renovations just 9 years ago, including the installation of a beautiful cedar shingle roof. You know, perhaps it could become an administration building for the new hospital, or even better, as a home for a community archives for the Portus La Prairie City and Municipality, something that I think is definitely needed.
And what about the MDC?
The provincial government announced in January of 2021 that the Manitoba Development Center would close after its remaining 133 residents had been transitioned to community living over a period of 3 years. So it's not going to close right away. The case, however, is more challenging than the closure of the Agassiz Youth Center. Those residents with medical or behavioral challenges cannot simply be sent home. The government is saying only that they'll go to what is called, quote, purpose-built homes on a smaller scale than the Manitoba Development Center. There are lingering concerns about the physical and the sexual abuse that some residents may have suffered at the hands of the staff. And in fact, there is a class action lawsuit presently before the courts on this matter. Another worrisome dimension to the Manitoba Development Center's legacy is that its historical records are at risk. My sources tell me that an MDC staff person has been given a job over this summer to shred files, photographs, and other documents that have been accumulated through the years, allegedly because they are just so sensitive. Now, I wonder if the provincial archivist was asked to evaluate the merits of saving those records for future analysis by historians. Otherwise, we may never know what went on at the Manitoba Development Center if all the evidence is destroyed.
Well, absolutely. And every time, I don't know about you, but when I hear shredding documents, you know, I don't care really what the reason. It always kind of makes me feel a little cringy. Can you tell me about what's going to happen with the MDC buildings?
Well, the disposition of that whole campus, you know, they say there's numerous buildings there, is also going to be problematic because it's just so large and complex. Now, someone suggested to me recently that maybe it could become a Portage campus of the University of Manitoba, but nothing short of a large institution like the university would make sense at such a large site, which covers over 80 acres. Now, I suspect we're going to see that the Manitoba Development Center campus will sit vacant for several years, and probably some of its older buildings will be demolished until some productive new use is found for the remaining ones.
Amazing information you shared with us, and very, very poignant for these times. Would you mind giving me a hint about next week's episode?
Well, every so often, I like to switch things up by considering other aspects of abandonment in this series. So in past episodes, we have looked at abandoned mail, abandoned voting methods, and abandoning cultural practices, things like charivari, burial of the dead, and temperance. Next week, we'll examine an abandoned ritual that was legendary, at least among Winnipeg's journalists.
Can't wait for it, Gordon. Thank you.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.